Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Martin Luther fought an uphill battle to bring the Bible back as the prime rule of faith and life in the church of his day. His efforts brought about the Reformation. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're commemorating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Today, Martin Luther confronts the unbiblical idea of indulgences, by which money would release a soul from purgatory. This practice was made famous by a man named Tetzel.
When we were there in Germany, we saw some of the indulgences. You see, printing had just been invented, and so the printing press turned out these indulgences, and all that was needed was a blank space where you put someone's name. And if you paid the money, why then indeed your name would be put on that indulgence, and there you would have it, proof that you had been forgiven. Tetzel made amazing claims. Now, the Elector Frederick did not allow Tetzel to come into the actual town of Wittenberg because that was his territory and they didn't want any conflict of interest. But some of Luther's people and some of the people in Wittenberg would cross the Elbe River and they would go and they would come back and they would bring these documents with these rather outlandish claims. For example, it said that this document was so good that it would forgive all sins, even sins that you intended to commit. As a matter of fact, Tetzel said that the indulgence was so valid that it would forgive you even if you violated the Mother of God. He said that the cross that he put up in the village squares was of just as much value as the actual cross upon which Jesus Christ died. And then he would say to the people, "Now you have relatives that are in purgatory. Listen to their cries. Hear the words of your mother. Hear the words of your father. We bore you, we nurtured you, we sacrificed for you, and now with a little bit of a payment you can take us from these flames so that we might be able to go to heavenly bliss." And he had a little jingle which translated from the German essentially ends up being like this: as soon as another coin hits the chest, another soul flies to its heavenly rest. And so the coins hit the chest. And when Luther heard about it, he was angry and is to have said, "I'll put a hole in his drum." So in anger, he sat down and he wrote 95 theses for the purpose of debate. And he walked now from the university, which we visited, down the narrow street to the castle church. And in anger, put those 95 theses on the church door where people would walk by and see them. It was like a town bulletin board. The actual doors, by the way, are no longer there because they burned in a fire in the 1800s. But today in that castle church, you see the 95 theses that are actually ingrained in metal in Latin because Luther wrote them in Latin, and they are there today. The church is a 12th century church, and you walk inside and you're absolutely amazed at how well it has been preserved for those hundreds of years. Luther's tomb, by the way, is there in the church, and Melanchthon's is just on the other side. I need to tell you this story, too, because I may not have an opportunity to, and I need to tell you that Prince Charles, who I'm going to talk about next week, actually came to the church after Luther was buried there, and someone said to him, "Why don't we bury him? Why don't we dig him up, because he was your enemy, and let us desecrate his body?" And to his everlasting credit, Prince Charles, leader of the Holy Roman Emperor, said, "I have disagreements only with living men. I will not touch the dead." So Luther's remains are still there in the castle church in Wittenberg today. But Luther went there and he wrote 95 theses. I'd like to just read a couple of them to you, and just a very few. Let's go with number 21, for example. "Thus those preachers of indulgences are in error who say that by the indulgences of the Pope a man is loosed and saved from all punishment." Let's skip to number 27. "They preach human doctrine who say that the soul flies out of purgatory as soon as the money is thrown into the chest." 32. "Those who believe that through letters of pardon they are made sure of their own salvation will be eternally damned along with their teachers." 37, every true Christian, whether living or dead, has a share in all the benefits of Christ and the church given him by God, even without letters of indulgence. 52, vain is the hope of salvation through letters of indulgence, even a commissary, nay, the Pope himself, even if he were to pledge his own soul for them. Well, let's see if there are any others that we ought to read here. Let's skip to number 79. To say that the cross set up among the insignia of the papal arms is equal with the cross of Christ, that's Tetzel's, is blasphemy, said Luther. And number 82, what Luther says is, why does not the Pope empty purgatory for the sake of most holy charity rather than for money? What he's saying is, if the Pope has the power actually to take people out of purgatory and to send them into heaven, just common charity would necessitate that he do it whether he got paid for it or not. One would think so. They were written in Latin. They were nailed to the church door. Luther did not know that night on October 31st, 1517, when the Elector Frederick was bringing out all of his relics into the Castle Church there in Wittenberg. Luther did not know that he was starting a revolution that would have such incredible repercussions that there's not one single person listening to me by way of radio or in this congregation who has not been affected by that act. They were written in Latin, quickly translated into German, and because of the printing press, they went throughout all of the country, and immediately they were grabbed up by the people, and they hit a very responsive chord. Europe was right, and ripe, I should say, for a reformation. When the Pope heard about it, he said, Luther is a drunken German. He will feel differently when he is sober. And so what happened is, the 95 theses were published, and there was rebellion, spiritual rebellion in the ranks. There are so many details, of course, that I have to skip out, but I want to read to you what the Pope said. This is, of course, now Pope Leo, whom I referred to before, when he excommunicated Luther, because 3 years later, as there were debates and as there were controversies and as much of Germany and different parts of Europe began to secede from the strict authority of the church, it was at that time that Pope Leo issued a bull, a document of excommunication for Martin Luther. And I'd like to read just a couple of paragraphs. Arise, O Lord, and judge thy cause. A wild boar has invaded thy vineyard. Arise, O Peter, and consider the case of the Holy Roman Church, the mother of all churches, consecrated by thy blood. Arise, O Paul, who by thy teaching and death hast and dost illumine the church. Arise, all ye saints, and the whole universal church, whose interpretation of Scripture has been assailed. We can scarcely express our grief over the ancient heresies which have been revived in Germany. And I am skipping some paragraphs and I'm going to the end. Now, therefore, we give Martin 60 days in which to submit, dating from the time of the publication of this bull in his district. Anyone who presumes to infringe our excommunication and anathema will stand under the wrath of Almighty God and of the Apostles Peter and Paul, dated on the 15th day of June, 1520. And by the way, a copy of this bull is still in the Vatican Museum in Rome today. Eventually, the document of excommunication did reach Luther, much later than people thought it would, but it arrived. What did Luther do? He gathered all of his students who were on his side to the Elster Gate. When we were in Wittenberg, I said to the guide, where is the Elster Gate? I want you to know that the Elster Gate no longer exists because Wittenberg was a small town and it's grown and the city gate has been taken down. But I wanted so much to get to that Elster Gate because that's where they took all of the papal documents and they lit a fire. And then Luther himself took the papal bull and he threw it into the fire in defiance of the Pope. And as a result of that, a revolution was begun. It is not possible for me to tell you today all of the events that began to take place as the religious world was convulsed because there was someone who believed that the way of salvation would not be through indulgences, it would not be through good works and through the efforts of human beings. Luther had tried all that and ended in despair. It would be because there is an exalted Jesus Christ who died on the cross for sinners, and his death became a complete atoning sacrifice for sins. And one of the requirements to receive the gift of righteousness is to repudiate your own righteousness, to give up, to no longer pretend that you can somehow do something that will impress God, but to recognize that your righteousness falls so far short of God, what God requires, and that salvation is not a cooperative effort between God and man, where you do your part and then God makes up for the slack and adds his mercy. Nobody has ever been saved believing that. Throughout all the ages of church history, nobody has ever been saved believing that they should do the best they can and then punt the ball to the mercy of God and hope that God's mercy will take care of the rest. Nobody is saved that way. They're saved because they understand that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Augusta's top lady wrote a song that we sometimes sing. The second stanza goes, "Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone."
My friend, today, have you believed the gospel? Have you been saved? Have you stopped trusting in your own righteousness? Have you put your faith and trust in the righteousness of Jesus Christ? If you've done that, would you let us know? You know, you can go to moodymedia.org and communicate with us. That's moodymedia.org. Also, I hope you understand how excited I am and how I delight to preach the gospel. But I want you to realize that I can do that over the radio because of faithful people who support this ministry. It's because of the gifts and the prayers of many people that we are able to continue to be on the radio in many different places of the world, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Well, perhaps you've noticed, but I feel very deeply about the Protestant Reformation and its implications because we stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. I've written a book entitled Rescuing the Gospel, The Story and the Significance of the Reformation. I want you to have a copy. And as you read it, I believe that you will be blessed and challenged and enlightened.
To commemorate 500 years since Martin Luther posted the 95 Theses, Dr. Lutzer has written a new book called Rescuing the Gospel, The Story and Significance of the Reformation. A copy can be yours as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For all the details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When you write or call, ask about Rescuing the Gospel. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.